Okay, let's get started. I've given you a list because we've got a number of chapters, and I've given you a skeleton outline because I don't want to dwell very deeply on every chapter, but I think it's almost parabolic, like a parable of our times, what we have before us. We saw last time the fall, the final stages of the siege of Jerusalem. We saw that the city had fallen and the walls had been broken up. We saw that Zedekiah was actually tried to get away, and he had been told play by play by Jeremiah what he needed to do, what he should have been doing, and he never really got on board. And even to the point where he was running for his life and brought back face to face with Nebuchadnezzar and had to stand there and give an answer for his behavior. And it seems that he ultimately became a witness, saying, I knew I was going to be here. I knew this. Jeremiah told me. Because the way things fall out is after he is carried away, Nebuchadnezzar gives orders to Nebuzaradan, to his captain, to let this man Jeremiah go. Let him do whatever he wants. He wants to go with us. We can go with us. He'll find no harm in Babylon. Or he has the full open land of Jerusalem and Judah to live in if he wants. It's up to him. Just let him go. This guy evidently knew what God wanted him to do. Well, with that in mind, we come to chapter 40 tonight. And in chapter 40, I've put down as a heading the faith of Nebuzaradan because... And it could also be said to be the faith of Nebuchadnezzar because whatever Nebuchadnezzar told Nebuzaradan, he echoes it in these first six verses. The Bible says in verse 1, the word of the Lord, or the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord after Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, had let him go from Ramah, when he had taken him, being bound in chains among all that were carried away captive of Jerusalem and Judah, which were carried away captive unto Babylon. And the captain of the guard took Jeremiah. Now notice that it says this is the word of the Lord that came unto Jeremiah. But then we get this parenthetical insert about what Nebuzaradan says to him. So in verse 2, it says the captain of the guard, this is Nebuzaradan, took Jeremiah. And he, actually this is his captain and he's the captain of the guard. And he said unto him, the Lord thy God hath pronounced this evil upon this place. In other words, what we have now is we have the heathen preaching to the believer. Okay? This is a lost heathen from the land of the Chaldeans, and he's preaching back to Jeremiah. Not something that Jeremiah needed to have preached to him, but echoing, really, because he's telling him in no uncertain terms, I've heard what you've been telling them all along. He's saying, I know, because of probably what Zedekiah had told him when face-to-face with Nebuchadnezzar, he knows the whole story, because in verse 3 it says, now the Lord hath brought it, and hath done according as he hath said. Because you have sinned against the Lord. These are profound words. This is a heathen man saying this to the man who is supposed to be one of the children of God. And he says, and have not obeyed his voice. Therefore this thing has come upon you. And now behold, I loose thee this day from the chains which were upon thine hands. If it seem good unto thee to come with me unto Babylon, then come, and I will look well unto thee. But if it seem good unto thee to come with me into Babylon, forbear. Behold, all the land is before thee. Whither it seemeth good and convenient for thee to go, thither go. Now while he was not yet gone back, in other words, Jeremiah has not made a decision yet, this captain says, go back to Gedaliah. You know, he's sitting there, what should I do? And the captain says, go back to Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, whom the king of Babylon had made governor over the cities of Judah, and dwell with him in the cities of Judah, or and dwell with him among the people, or go wheresoever it seemeth convenient for thee to go. So the captain of the guard gave him victuals, that's food or bread, elsewhere translated bread, and a reward, actually, and let him go. Now you have to understand, these guys have horses covered with booty, so for him to grab a bag of something and say, here's some money because everything's wiped out. It's just the picture is so concise. You almost feel like you're there when you see it with the right words in place. Well, the Bible says in verse 6, then Jeremiah did go to Gedaliah. Now, who's Gedaliah? Well, Gedaliah is the guy way back, I think it's about 27 or something, chapter 24. Everybody was saying, let's kill Jeremiah. He's saying the wrong thing. We don't like him anymore. And the one guy in the room who stood up and said, no, No, I don't think we should. Somehow, he doesn't really give a speech in that chapter, but it's one verse saying, nevertheless, Gedaliah prevailed, and he helped spare Jeremiah's life. So this was a guy who was on board all along. He had been listening to the truth. So Gedaliah was a worthy guy. He really was. He was a worthy man. But when I put down here the faith of Nebuzaradan, the reason I put it, because there's a number of verses left, there's another, oh, it goes down to another 10 verses left, and the chapter's not going to deal much with him anymore. But I want you to see here at the outset of this demise, if you will, of Jerusalem. This is where the vestiges are left. We're down to the bare bones. I mean, everybody's being carried away, and only the poor are being left in the land, okay? Gedaliah is being made governor at the appointment of the Babylonian king, Nebuchadnezzar, probably because commentators believe Gedaliah kind of probably fell to the Babylonians early, okay? So Nebuchadnezzar might have heard from Zedekiah. He also might have heard from Gedaliah. But Gedaliah gets to be governor. And he says, you can be governor. You're going to be the guy everybody's going to kind of rally around. You're going to be able to make sure that this land does not go to seed. However, things get a little bit difficult. The reason I point Nebuzaradan out and his faith is because when we get down to chapter 44 at the end, we're going to find out the people of God have none. Okay? Very powerful Nebuzaradan's words compared to where this thing is going to end up. So with that said, verse 7 says, now when all the captains of the forces which were in the fields, even they and their men, heard that the king of Babylon made Gedaliah the son of Ahikam governor in the land and committed unto him the men, women, children, and the poor of the land, of them that were not carried away captive, then they came to Gedaliah. Now I'm going to just stop there at Mizpah. Okay? They came to Gedaliah at Mizpah. Now, in order to get a good working knowledge of this, it's helpful for us in our mind's eye to kind of get an idea of where these guys are. And in order for that, try to take in your mind and consider a triangular out here, Mediterranean Sea, and here's the coast. Okay, right in here is is Jerusalem, which is the kingdom that's the last standing place, and just a few miles north is Mizpah. Mizpah is actually on the northern border of Judah with the rest of the kingdom of Israel up here. So it's northern kingdom of Judah. And he's going to set up his post there. Gedaliah says, I'm going to be here. I'm going to answer to the king from here. They're going to come down. When they come to our borders, I'll be there to talk to them. Everything's going to be fine. I've got your back. You go out and you guys just have a good day and have a good time. And the Bible says that when they did that, that they, in fact, were able to gather a whole lot of good stuff from the land. Look at verse 12. Even all the Jews returned out of their places whither they were driven and came to the land of Judah to Gedaliah unto Mizpah and gathered wine and summer fruits very much. Everybody's gone. Yeah, the booty's been taken, but summer fruits and wine very much. When they say wine, it's not they're finding bottles. They're finding grape vines full of it. And the way they looked at grapes, they oftentimes, when they grabbed a cluster of grapes, they called it wine. Because that was Coke. That was Pepsi. Now, guys, we got to get our minds around this. They did not look at wine as if it was the hard drink. They looked at wine as if it was the soft drink. It was the soft drink. Everything was water or milk. Think about a hot day drinking milk. Not so good, right? And it's warm milk at that. So the best thing you could hope for was really cold waters coming down from the mountains or some water that wasn't so cold but maybe had a little sweetener in it. And the sweetener that they used was wine. And sometimes they would even boil it down into a paste and keep it in a pouch, throw some in, shake it up in their bottle and have something good to drink. Guys, this is where the devil likes to just take us and take us for a ride. Let's just go down the road. So when they got this, they found all this good stuff, and it was a lot of it. Nobody was saying, get off my land, you know, or anything, because everybody was taken away. And so the poor were having a real holiday. It was a great day. Did you notice the name of the title of the message, The Deceiving of the Poor? Things are going to get curiouser and curiouser from here. Now notice, in their rearview mirror, just over the horizon, they're still seeing smoke rise from over in Jerusalem. Smoke's still over there. Okay? That's what they're seeing. They're up in Mizpah now. They're running around in the fields and everything's good. Nobody's threatening them. There's no army coming. They're going away. It's a great day. And everybody gathers around Gedaliah and everybody's excited about it. And the Bible says there is another person. Gedaliah is received. Everybody's happy about that. But in verse 13, Johanan, he reports. And in verse 13 it says, moreover, Johanan, the son of Kareah, And all the captains of the forces that were in the field came to get Elijah to Mizpah. Again, northernmost part of Judah. They're hanging out there. It's a good day. Everybody's hanging. And Johanan comes in. You can almost hear the horse's hooves because this is a man who has a cap. He's like a captain over forces that were in the field. It's probably a routine thing to have some captains outside the city when you're fighting a battle who can maybe be called upon to rout the enemy if something goes that way. These guys here, everything is gathering to Gedaliah, and so they come in. And the Bible says in verse 14, he said, "Dost thou surely know that Baalis, the king of Ammonites, has sent Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, to slay thee?" He says, but Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, believed him not. Look at the end of verse 16. He says, "You speak falsely of Ishmael." He reports. He's the man who's out there. He's the scout. Now, when I said at the outset that this is almost parabolic of our day, I think we just won a great victory in our polls yesterday. The whole world stood up in America and said, "We're not so happy about how things are going. We want you all to get your house in order." Even in our local, it was voting issues. It was 2-1 against giving more money. You know, there's a time when people start saying, "You know what? We're going to cut our salaries back a little bit." But you know what they did in our community and what they don't talk about, and I'm sorry to say it, but it is true. What they do is they look at the budget and they hold the police force over us and say, "If you don't take and give us this money, you won't have your police force." Well, and you know, those people in those positions typically aren't full-time that are making these decisions. But they don't want to make harder decisions. They don't want to make the right decisions. We've lived large in this country, and there's a time to tighten our belt. Why is it parabolic? Well, because everything looks real good, and when you get a big victory, you tend not to look at facts. And facts are facts. They're still a threat. And what was the threat? The Ammonites. They were right over on the east side of this community. There was a guy there named Baalis. He was the king over there, and he had a conspiracy. Johanan reports the conspiracy. He says, "No, everybody loves me. The people, they got wine, they've got fruits, they're having a great time. Look, it's good." And he waves him off. Look at verse 1 of chapter 41. "Now it came to pass in the seventh month that Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, the son of Elishama, seed of the royal and the prince of the king, and even 10 with him." 10 men, just 10. It says, 10 men with him came unto Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, in Mizpah, and there they did eat bread together in Mizpah. All is well. Verse 2, "Then arose Ishmael the son of Nethaniah and the 10 men that were with him and smote Gedaliah." It didn't take long, did it? There's not a long time here going between verses 1 and 2. They're eating and next thing you know they're being slain. And as they have that constitutional caucus idea, I think it's a good idea. There is a potential for a guy to go into Washington and be oohed and awed by the pageantry and by the wonder of it all, to the point where they begin to kind of fade back into the woodwork. I know I'd be intimidated, wouldn't you? Suddenly you're in the room and they're saying, "What do you think?" And they're giving you a big handshake and they're welcoming you, and people like, and you know, people you've seen on TV all your life are walking up to you, you see. Gedaliah couldn't hear. He didn't see it. He was told there was a threat, but he didn't believe it. But the threat got the better of him. And so chapter 41 represents the fall of Gedaliah. Now when Gedaliah fell, because he did the wrong thing, a lot of people were impoverished. And not only did Ishmael slaughter him, Gedaliah, and his court, and people within the walls of Mizpah, but the Bible says that there's also other people, verses 1 to 10 bring before us. In verse 3, it says he slew all the Jews that were with him and the Chaldeans that were found there, men of war. I mean, even the people who were Babylonians that were still hanging out and just enjoying a little easy job down here. You know, it's a conquered group. Everybody's happy. We're just hanging out. We'll just eat the fruit of the day and have a good time. They were killed too, which was really a provocation. I mean, the Ammonites are poking a finger in the eye of the Babylonians, because this was really a Babylonian outpost for all practical purposes. But then the Bible says, after 2 days, nobody had known about it. In verse 5, it says that there were some people that came down from Shechem, 80 men. And they came down and they're weeping because the house of the Lord has been destroyed in Jerusalem. Think about it. I mean, this is a bad day. Somebody in the room was thinking. Gedaliah wasn't thinking. Go eat, go drink, go have a wonderful time. The house of the Lord is in ruins. Shows you a little bit of why he might not have had his moorings good, parabolic or not. If you're not thinking about God when tides change, it's real easy to get caught up in the drama of it. Well, these guys, Gedaliah wasn't thinking about God. These guys were, 80 of them.